Hey, welcome back, everybody. 318 on 720 WGN. Matt Bubala in for John Hansen here on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. We're speaking with Robin Fretwell Wilson. She's a family law professor at the University of Illinois College of Law. And we're chatting about conservatorships. We talked a little bit about Britney Spears and everything she's gone through. But that leads us to the question about how does this relate to our own life? And Robin, you brought up the idea of as our parents get older or family members who maybe are having issues medically and maybe not being completely of sound mind at all times, you might want to have to think about a conservatorship. So how does that generally come about, and how do people start to have those conversations?
Well, that's a great question, Matt. Let me back up for a second. You know, a conservatorship is familiar to a lot of us when it comes to a child, except we call it a guardianship. You know, so think you suddenly need to take care of your sister's child for a while, like your sister's in the hospital or something's happened. You might want to be the child's guardian, right? So you can make all kinds of decisions, like if they need to be vaccinated, if they can go on a school field trip, who's going to pick the kid up from school. You need a status vis-a-vis the child. Now, fast forward to your parents. If your parent is sort of slipping and not able really to kind of do things for themselves, you know, at some point you might want to be effectively their guardian, you know, just like you would be for a minor child. And that makes you the conservator for the person who has the conservatorship. And again, it doesn't have to be maligned. There are lots of devices to use that can help you along the way. I weirdly have had this experience during COVID with my own mom, who was in the hospital for like 5 weeks, and she got COVID in the hospital and also got a kind of COVID fog, which a lot of people have. So I can imagine there are a lot of Americans, you know, thinking about these questions right now, even more than in the past. And I'm her power of attorney. Like, I didn't need to create a conservatorship a long, long time ago, looking forward to one day when she wasn't able to do things for herself. She gave me a financial power of attorney and an advanced medical directive, you know, to help make decisions for her. So those two documents together can act basically like a conservatorship. If a conservatorship is a status, it lets you do the same sorts of things these documents let you do.
I was going to ask you, power of attorney did seem to be the phrase that popped to mind that I think we would think of more in this. And so that is very similar. If we had power of attorney, in essence, we could think that's what we're talking about here, is the ability to help step in and take care of financial decisions for a family member if they needed that help.
Yeah, and so like in my mom's case, I can help her, you know, get her mortgage paid, and I don't have to have her on the phone. I have the document filed, and I can just talk to the bank directly. Now, one thing that is a little wrinkle versus a conservatorship is if, let's say, my mom wanted to call the bank and tell them something different than I said, she also still has the power to act for herself. It hasn't been taken from her the way Britney's had. So think of it as like duplicating the people who could act for a person. My mother can act for her. I can act for her. And it is possible that we come out to different decisions, or she would say something that was different than what I already told them and maybe not even remember that she had done that, right? Conservatorship would strip my mother of that ability and leave only me. So that's where Britney was different. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I think, so the tough thing I think to think about for a lot of people as their parents age is you have brothers and sisters, you have multiple family members, and it seems like a scary thing to start because there's going to be questions about who should be running this and what decisions do they get to make and how does that affect the whole family down the road?
Yeah, so the good thing about the document is my mom at some point in time made a decision and named me. So it doesn't feel like I'm taking over everything for the whole family. In some sense, I think, you know, advanced medical directives are giving that person power to decide even after they aren't able to decide. So in that sense, I think they're really good devices and people should always want to stay ahead. In some sense, my mom going to the hospital, it was really fast. She had like a diabetes drug that didn't work and wildly catapulted. And then suddenly the document was there. So it wasn't so many conversations that had to be had. It was more after saying, hey, Mom, for 5 weeks I've been doing all of this for you because you couldn't. And do you think maybe this would be a good time for me to continue to do that? That's a nice point about the documents, too, that it doesn't have to feel like to a person like Brittany that everything's being stripped from them. Instead, the document lets you fill a gap, and maybe you just continue to do that. That seems like a nice way to ease in when a person maybe because of a healthcare crisis finally recognizes, I might not have been doing that so well by myself.
And it's important, you mentioned that you guys had kind of worked this out earlier on. How early should we not be waiting till our parents are in decline? I imagine it's better to have this discussion with the whole family at some point. So because you know that this could be coming down the road, is it better to start those discussions early?
I think so. I mean, my mom's 85, so this isn't going to sound super strange, but I forget, probably about 20 years ago for one of her birthdays, I said, could we do your will and all the documents? I will have an attorney do those for you. I couldn't do them, obviously.
Robin, I have to give you a little bit of a hard time about that, saying for her birthday. I said, let's do your will.
I know, Matt. I told you. I said, I think it's going to seem super weird. But I just thought, like, it's my family has very modest means, and you don't want to push a person to have to go get legal documents that cost a lot. So I thought, well, let me just pay for those for you. And you talk to the person. You know, I don't even have to be there. You make whatever decision you want, but you need documents that put those down. I mean, you don't necessarily have to do it for Christmas or Thanksgiving or Mother's Day or whatever, but somebody, if you have a family member who can't do that for themselves, you know, you might try to help them by paying for it. There are a lot of really good advanced medical directives, which are also part of this. I mean, you went back, Matt, and mentioned how Brittany had a lot of spiraling. I teach my family law class, the front part of my class, from Brittany Spears' legal papers, which you can get on TMZ. So you remember the year that she, had Vegas wedding, right? And then she, had that annulled. And then the same year she married K-Fed in a, quote, faux wedding and without a prenup. I mean, here's a lady who had, $26 million at the time, married two dudes in the same year, no prenup. And then she had these big meltdowns. And, you know, those documents being there would have allowed people to help during the meltdown. And those kinds of things, people can go on the internet and get very good advanced directives for at least that part of their relationship to a family member. And it could be a sibling. It could be a husband or a wife. I mean, it doesn't have to be just your parent, where suddenly somebody finds themselves without the capacity to speak for themselves.
And you mentioned getting the will set up, and that is expensive on the front end, but I imagine it's still very recommended because it can cost way more money and anguish for a family afterwards if that's not taken care of, right?
That's absolutely right. And if, you know, they have very little wealth, it allows the wealth to go to the people that the person wanted that to. And a lot of times it's not about money. My father was a veteran, and when he was buried, he has a folded U.S. flag. And there's somebody that my father would have wanted that to go to. And so that should go there, right? And a will can help with those kinds of things. For high wealth families, you can squander all the money, you know, fighting over who was supposed to get what, right? And so, you know, just allowing people to kind of help decide things before they can't decide for themselves is, I think, always a good idea.
Is there any other advice, any other things, you know, as a family law professor and an attorney, you've seen things over the years. What are the most common, we only have 2 minutes left, but what are the most common mistakes people make when it comes to not planning ahead?
Well, I think people don't like to think about their own death. And so they don't think are malign, but they just don't want to make provision for that. My father was one of those people who died without a will. And it just, you need to project into what it's going to look like after you're gone. And then, you know, I think when people do that, they can stay ahead of it out of love for their family members, you know? So I think I would just say people should project into what it looks like after they're gone, and I think that will help. I think people should realize maybe COVID is a really good time. Like, young people are not immune. And so even somebody like my son's age, who is 26, should probably have documents about what he would like to have happen. I maybe need to give those to him for his birthday, Matt, okay?
I did this for Grandma. I'm doing it for you.
Right, now that I'm thinking about it, good idea. Yeah, I mean, we think about me passing before him or me getting sick before him, but it doesn't have to go that way, and that's COVID true. Has shown us that. And so I really should think about that. I'll tell him I mentioned it to you, and you thought it was a good idea, okay?
No, I said, Mom, get him a car, but you decided to go with the will. So that's what you tell him I said, okay?
Okay, I will.
But so, you'll be the practical one. And it's true. If COVID has shown us anything, it's that life is very unpredictable. Robin Fretwell Wilson is a family law professor at the University of Illinois College of Law. Thank you so much for being with us today. We really do appreciate your knowledge.
Absolutely, Matt. Thank you.
You bet. I hope we get to talk again.